The whole book of Deuteronomy was given to the people of Israel before they crossed the Jordan River, as they were facing the prospect of going into the land of Palestine. It is called Deuteronomy because it's the second giving of the law. Deuteronomy chapter 5, you have the Ten Commandments re-given. And the whole book is preparing the people for going into the land of Israel and taking the land and living there. And it really is a book that talks about the conditions of blessing for their future. And one of the great themes of the book of Deuteronomy is certainly found in verse number 15. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil. When the people of Israel were to go into the land of Israel, they were to go to there near Shechem, and half the tribes were to assemble on Mount Ebal, and half the tribes were to assemble on Mount Gerizim, and they were to give of the blessings and the cursings that curses that were given here in the book of Deuteronomy. The curses on Mount Ebal, and it's easy to remember that because Ebal is close to evil, okay? And on Mount they gave the curses. And the curses were what would happen to them if they forsook the law of God. In Mount Gerizim, they had the blessings, and all the blessings that would come upon them if they obeyed God. And of course, we have reminder in the book of Deuteronomy as they were going, the prospects of going into the land. Really, their whole future was in front of them. And God was painting a picture about their future. What was their future going to be like? What was their life going to be like? What could it be like for generations to come? And that's really what the book of Deuteronomy is all about. It's giving them the prospects for their future. And he gives that summary in verse 15. I have set before thee this day. As you think of the book of Deuteronomy and all the commandments, all the truths, all the precepts, all the principles that are there, he says, now I've set before you, I've given before you the opportunity for either for life or for death. I've given before you the opportunity for blessing and for success, or you have the opportunity or the result of disobedience will be the curses of God. And we find a very great principle here. You know, it's a principle of warning, but it's also a principle, a great principle of hope. And that simply is this. We are the ones who set our future. We are the ones who determine what our future will be like. I recognize God is sovereign. And we don't have anything to do with those necessarily those day-to-day events of our life. But we do have a whole lot to do with what our future life will be like. We make that choice. And you know, it's a wonderful thing. It is a wonderful thing to have God's Word. It is a wonderful thing to know the truth. It is a wonderful thing to have the opportunity to make the right choice in life. Now, some of you would say, well, you know, I've already made too many mistakes. Well, notice this passage of Scripture. tells us if the people of Israel would get away from the Lord and they would be scattered into the nations. The verse 2, it says, "And if you will return unto the Lord and shall obey his voice according to all that I have commanded thee, thou and thy children with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion on thee and will return and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee." Now we recognize it's only by the grace of God. We recognize that to be true. We recognize it is only by the grace of God that we can obey him, that we can follow him, that we can do his will. But yet the Bible makes it very clear that there is reality about man's will. Of man, what man will choose to do with their life. And everyone, even like the people of Israel, he said, you have a choice of what your future will be like. You can go in and possess the land and enjoy the good of the land. Or you can go in the land and you can do your will and do it your way and you can experience death. And of course, so he says, I have set before you life and death. Life and death. Life, obviously, specifically speaking about that life that has God's blessing upon it, and that life that is according to God's word, and in contrast to death, which would be physical death, spiritual death, the curses, separation from God. And so, you know, young person, you know, you have a choice. What you're going to do with your life. And you know, every person that is in this place, it doesn't really matter what your past has been. Every one of us has today. Every one of us has today, and everyone has this day to determine what we will do the rest of our life. And that is what he's saying to the people of Israel. He says, I have set before thee this day life and good. Now they're about ready to go into the land. And they're about ready to cross the Jordan. And he is basically telling them, now your future is going to be determined today. And the whole book of Deuteronomy was given on the other side of the Jordan to give them the law and to give them the precepts and the principles of God. And they were going to make a choice about what they were going to do with God's word and what they are going to do with their future. You know, the devil would like us to just be apathetic and just coast along with life and say, well, whatever will be, will be. He would like us to be discouraged, and he would like us to think, well, you know what? I failed in the past, and you know what? I might as well just live with it and forget it. Well, that's the devil would be glad to do that, wouldn't he? Just to wallow in our past and stay there and be discouraged and be defeated. That would love that. But the people of Israel had a choice. And he said for those who had failed, that even when they would fail, they would still have the choice to turn back to the Lord. And that as the people right there, as they faced their future, he said, now I've given you this opportunity. What are you going to do with your life? And I realize that's a broad statement, but the fact is this, what are we going to do with our lives? And there's one person other than God that chooses what we are going to do with our lives. You know, isn't it a wonderful thing? Isn't it a wonderful thing that a child at a very young age can repent of their sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved and be on their way to heaven. That is an amazing miracle. That a child of 3 years old, 4 years old, 5 years old, 6 years old, 7 years old, 8 years old, a child, they can repent of their sin. They can admit they're a sinner, admit they're on their way to hell, admit they have a sinful heart, and turn to Jesus Christ to be their Savior, to be their Lord, and they can be saved just like that. And they're going to be on their way to heaven. Amazing. It's an amazing thing that, you know, a person can choose to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. And their future be determined. It's an amazing thing that, you know, a person can decide to present their bodies a living sacrifice unto God. They can surrender their life to be a living sacrifice before the Lord and give their lives to serve Him. It's a wonderful thing. You know, it's real that you can surrender your life to God and give your life to serve Him. It's a wonderful thing, but you can choose to do that and be in the center of God's will for your life. It's amazing the fact that, you know, I remember the day. And to me, it's still amazing to me. I remember the day. What year was it, Jonathan? You were about 7. How old are you now? Okay. Yeah, whatever it was. 1984, 85. Remember that day that Dr. Cederholm was preaching here and I had two little boys. One was kindergarten, one was first grade or second grade. That day they walked the aisle. And they said, "Dad, God's called me to preach." And they surrendered to the call of God to preach. And their life was changed by that one decision. They decided to do the will of God, and it was real in their life. I'm still amazed that a child who can hardly understand much about life can make such huge decisions about life that are real. But we have this great principle here about spiritual decisions that men can make before God. Spiritual decisions that men can make before God that will determine the rest of their life. And that's what the option that he has given to the people of Israel. And so in one sense, let me put it this way. I'll say it again. Young person, you can decide. And you do decide. But you can decide. You can decide what you're going to do the rest of your life. And you can decide if the rest of your life will be one of productive spiritual effort, of walking with God, of doing the will of God, and having the blessings of God. You can make that choice. And you can make that choice in a point of time in your life. And that decision kept will be fulfilled in your life. And everybody that is here today, you have made decisions in your life about what your future is going to be like. And we just like to kind of put that together in a very simple package today. And the Lord summarizes it in verse 20. Verse 19, I call heaven and earth to record against this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Of course, this is a summary verse of the whole book of Deuteronomy. Therefore, choose life, and that both thou and thy seed may live. And of course, we have that very sobering fact today, is that what you decide to do will affect, if the Lord does not come, will affect thousands of people. Will affect thousands and thousands of people that will be your descendants, as well as other people. You know, Brother Holland in New Guinea, one day someone said to him, How come that we have lived in darkness? How come we didn't have the gospel? How come we don't know the truth? How come my grandpa and my great-grandpa and my great-great-grandpa, how come they died and went to hell? And Dave Holland said very wisely, he said, because one of your ancestors one day decided not to live for God. One of your ancestors decided not to live for God. And as a result, all those following generations lived in darkness and probably increasing darkness. But I'd like us to look at verse 20. And I'd like us to look at the principles of choosing life. What are the principles involved in choosing life? What are three summary truths of what it involves to choose life, to choose God's best, to to possess the land, to be what God wants you to be in your spiritual life and to be in the center of His will. And verse number 20, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God. The first great principle is to love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. To love the Lord. The Lord was asked, what's the greatest commandment? He says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy might. And you know, if you understand what he was saying, it's kind of interesting. He was saying that commandment is the summary of all the commandments that have to do with God, and is a summary of the first half of the Ten Commandments. I thought we should think about that a minute. What does it mean to love the Lord thy God? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. We sing the song, Nothing Between My Soul and the Savior. We think of the verse in the Bible. It says that we are not to have any idols in our life. You know, what is an idol? An idol is anything that you love so much that you will disobey God to keep it. An idol is anything that you love so much that you will disobey God to keep it. It doesn't have to be something wrong, but it is something that you love so much that you love more than God. Keep yourselves from idols. I remember talking to a preacher one time, elderly preacher, and he said, you know, when I was a young pastor, I was preaching one day, and I was thinking about my sailboat. He lived on the ocean, and he had a sailboat, and right in the middle of his sermon, he was thinking about his sailboat. And he said, right then, I knew that it was an idol. And I decided right then I was going to stop sailing. Because it had taken away my heart. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. You know, there's a lot of things that people love so much that they will violate God's principles to keep it. Whether those are God's principles of modesty, or whether the principles of worship. A person, they could love fishing so much that they might have a, let's just say they had a free day to go fishing, and it was on a Sunday. And they'd say, you know what? This is a free day. I can go fishing without a license, and I just have to miss just one service. Well, does that qualify for loving the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy might? No. There is a choice to love the Lord thy God. It is the choice of life involved, the decision to love the Lord. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Now, we could say a lot of things there, but you know, the Lord wants us to have a real personal relationship with Him. You know, we thank the Lord for the Lord's house. We thank the Lord for church. But you know, church is not a replacement for having our devotions, is it? God doesn't want us to have religion. He wants us to have a personal relationship with Him. That means that we ought to have a direct relationship to Him. We ought to revel in going to His Word and reading His Word and meeting Him in His Word. We ought to revel in seeking Him and praying to Him and seeing answered prayer. We ought to have a direct personal relationship with God. That's what it means to love the Lord. And we could go on and say so many things. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. You know, the difference between loving the Lord and not loving the Lord is taking the name of the Lord in vain. Whether that's singing a song, a hymn with the names of God in it, and just singing it without any heart, without any meaning, it can have to do with speaking of God lightly. You know, there's a lot of people today. You know, when they think of God and they think of the things of the Lord, you know, it's just ritual. Just going through the motions. There's nothing real happening. Loving the Lord will not let any of that come into our life. This, just going through the motions stuff. And make sure that we read our Bible. And when we read it, we meet God. When we come to church, we really sing the hymns. And we're thinking about what we're singing. And when we pray, we just don't pray rote prayers. We don't just, say the same thing over and over. But we're really, our heart and our soul are in our prayer life. We're meeting with God. It says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. And, of course, we could go on to so many different things. But, you know, as much as it is such a simple thing, I still believe that the Sunday is the Lord's Day. Not 1 hour on the morning, But it's the Lord's day. It is a day, it's a day given to Him. It was a day that that the model of creation was that man needed a day to feed his soul. You think about the day in which we live, just a general principle. Christianity is not going upward. Christianity is going downward. And one of the characteristics of that is that the Lord's Day is no longer the Lord's Day. You know, you only can preach for 1 hour because you got so many other important things to do. You got all these things that you're supposed to do on the Lord's day rather than be in the Lord's house. You know, our time is so important. Well, what is it really saying? It's really saying that the Lord's day isn't the Lord's day. It's just a sidelight, that going to church, because our whole life is filled with all our own pleasures. He said, the choice to choose God is the choice to make sure that we love God with all our heart. And that means a positive and a negative, and we'll get to that a little bit. But that means to get out of our life anything that takes away our heart for God. And it means to put the things in our life that will make sure that we love God. No, secondly, it says that thou mayest obey His voice. I'd like us to look at some verses in Deuteronomy here. Deuteronomy chapter number 5. And I want you to take note of a very special word that we're going to be looking at. Deuteronomy chapter number 25. And let's look at verse 29. And after a couple, we'll see if you get the word that I'm talking about. Deuteronomy 5:29. Oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Chapter 5 and verse 31. But as for thee, stand thou here by me, and I will speak unto thee all the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which thou shalt teach them, that they may do them in the land which I give to possess it. Verse 33, ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that ye may live, and that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. Chapter 6 and verse number 2. Chapter 6 and verse number 2. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all His statutes and His commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Verse 15. No, it's not verse 15. Chapter 8 and verse number 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. Anybody know what word it is? All. Chapter 11 and verse number 13. I must have copied that one wrong, so we won't read that one. We have a constant theme in the book of Deuteronomy. The constant theme of obedience to what? All the commandments. A theme of learning all the Word of God, a theme of obeying all the Word of God. We obviously see a very simple principle, is that to compromise that truth to take the word all and make it some is a rejection of the principle of God's blessing, of the life that God is promising. And so, obey. Obey all the commandments. You know, that is a choice. Did you know that? That is a choice that every believer makes, a choice about how they will obey the Lord. And it's really an attitude. It's an attitude about the Bible. It's an attitude about God. It's an attitude about God's Word. We can take the commandments of the New Testament. We can take the principles of the Old Testament. And we can say, okay, I want to please the Lord in everything. You know, it's so simple, but the question is, we have to ask ourselves, is that how we read the Bible? Is that how we read the Bible? Is that the decision we have made about God's Word? It's very, very simple. Now, we can take simple things. We can take the Great Commission. Go and preach the gospel to every creature. We can say, well, that's for somebody else. That's not for me. That I'm not obliged by that commandment. All of a sudden, we're on the wrong side of the fence. Because now, rather than obeying all of His Word, we have chosen to obey some of His Word. Now we are limiting God's leading. We're limiting His work in our life. And certainly we're limiting the blessing of God in the future. Thank the Lord. I remember just a week ago. Boy, it seems like it's so long ago. We heard Brother Needham's testimony. Some of you were here at Sunday School Hour. And he said that, talking about raising his family for God, he said that, and he didn't say it this way, but he did say it. He said one of the big decisions that he had made as a father, as a husband, was that they were going to have family devotions every day. Every day. And I'm sure there was exceptions, but they were going to have consistent family devotions. And as I heard him talking, I could hear that principle that, you know, his life, his family was affected by that decision. As I heard him talking, I heard him talk about how that, you know, when he needed to apologize to his family, he apologized to his family, and how different things happened. And I thought, you know why that happened? Because he made a decision to have family devotions. And it's going to be awful hard to have family devotions if things weren't right in the family, right? And by making one decision, he determined the future concerning a multitude of other things. Because he chose to do the right thing. So important in our life that we decide to obey what God says. In fact, in Sunday school this morning, we ran a little bit late. I thought to myself afterward, you know, and I says, Ron, you know, you just kind of, you didn't really bring it to completion. We are talking about the importance of a number of things, but we are talking about the importance of being a soul winner, of witnessing, of seeing people come to Christ. And I thought to myself, you know, you kind of missed the opportunity, because you were talking about the importance of being a soul winner. And people need to be led to a point of decision that they're going to do something about it. Because you know what? If we're not faced with a decision, we don't do it, do we? We don't do it unless we decide. We can agree. We can say, that's good. That's what I ought to do. But we need to make a decision about it. And so the invitation is still open. But you know, we have to decide what we're going to do. And we have to be led to a place where we decide that we are going to do what God tells us to do. We can't just agree with it. We have to decide that we're going to do something about it. And when we make this decision that we are going to obey God, that from that point on, now when we don't obey God, now we know that we're not right with God. Now we know we aren't right with God. And we come to this place where we say, you know, as a father, I'm going to lead my family in family devotions. And we say, yep, that's right. I'm going to make that decision. And then, you know what? When you mess up and you don't do it, and you start getting away from it, now you know you're doing wrong. Now you know you're going in the wrong way. It's so important for God's people to make the decision to obey. Otherwise, we can drift and drift and drift, and our conscience will just let us do it. So he says, obey. And then it says, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. That may cleave unto him. I realize that this is associated with this. But let's look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. And to see the issue of cleaving, of why we are to cleave to the Lord, why we are to hold tight, how we are to stick fast with the Lord, how we're supposed to not let anything come in our life that will separate us from the Lord. Matthew 6, verse 24. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. What's the Bible saying? The Bible is saying, very simply, that you can't love money and God at the same time. You can't love money and God at the same time. Because that money is not just a piece of paper, like it is in America, with little value. It's not just a piece of paper. It's a spiritual principle. It says that that money will do something to your heart. What will it do to your heart? It says that that thing will cause you to hate the one and love the other. That money will cause us people to hate God. And it causes people to love it. Or it says it will do it more subtly. It will cause one to hold to the other and despise the other. Yep, and you know there's a lot of people that think, boy, God's not going to get a hold of my money. God's not going to get a hold of my money. What is it saying? Well, they despise God, don't they? He's going to take something good from them. We see this spiritual principle that the Bible is teaching us, that we need to recognize that we need to cleave so close to the Lord, and we need to do it purposely. Because we live in a spiritual world, and those little things will separate us from God and will take away our heart. And instead of having God's blessing, we will be on the opposite side. And so there's this choice to cleave to God. And the Bible tells us how a man is supposed to leave his father and mother, and they're supposed to cleave to his wife. That's a purposeful decision in their life. And they are purposely not to be allow themselves to be attracted to any other person, or to be drawn by any other person, or to think in those realms. They purposely choose that they are going to be a one-woman man. Now here we find the word cleave for God. The word purpose to be a one-God person. And it doesn't happen by accident. You know, here the Bible tells us, while we're in Matthew chapter 6, notice what it says here in verse number 20. It says, "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." You know, there's a simple principle. You know, what you do with your money will determine where your heart will be. And if you have if you have your money invested in God, that's what's going to be important in your life. It just works that way. It's a simple truth. And you know, it's opposite as well. When people start giving less, there's something that happens. They start getting away from the Lord, and instead of following the principle of life, they're following the principle of death. There's a spiritual principle here. Not saying that we understand it completely, but the Bible tells us we determine our future. What we do with our money determines what our future is. We declare with our money what is important to us. We can think of other things. Let's turn to Psalm number 1. We'll talk about this in a positive way and a negative way. Psalm number 1, obviously, a very familiar, famous psalm. But notice it says, "Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Now here's a person who makes a conscious decision to fill their life with the Word of God. And make a conscious decision to be reading God's Word, to be meditating upon God's Word, to have the Word of God to affect their heart and their mind and their soul. And the Bible says there's going to be a result. You know, it's a purposeful decision. It's a purposeful decision to cleave to the Lord. And how do we cleave to the Lord? Bible makes it pretty clear here, doesn't it? We purpose in our life. Now, let's put it in a simple, practical issue. Now, first of all, young people, many of you have your devotions every day because you have to go to school in the academy. And that's good, because we trust that the Word of God will have an effect upon your life, and it's not going to have an effect upon your life if you're not reading it. But let's put it in a different realm. What about taking your future and saying, you know, in my future, I am determining that I will stay close to God, and I want to live for God, and I want to be in the place of God's blessing and be in the place of God's will the rest of my life. Therefore, I am going to make a decision. I am going to decide that not one day will ever go by without being in God's Word. That's what it's talking about. Cleaving to the Lord is purposeful. It isn't accidental. It's a purposeful decision about what am I going to do about my future? What am I going to do about my life? And you know, it is a purposeful decision. And I can remember the day. It's probably about 1978, 79. I would say to that point in my life, I usually had devotions 5 days out of the week. Most of the time 7 days, but sometimes five, maybe sometimes four. And I think that was a point in my life where I was working full time. I was pastoring and starting the church. And Dr. Davis from Maranatha came and talked about how he was a pastor and they were winning people to Christ every week in their church, and he was so busy and he didn't have devotions. And that he got right with God, and he determined to have devotions every day. Of course, he challenged us. And he said, how many of you have devotions most every day, but you don't have them every day? And that was me. And, you know, I made a decision. I made a decision that every day of my life, I would have devotions. You know what? If you don't make that decision, you know, you're going to miss. And if you miss one day, you might miss the next day. And if you miss 2 days, you might miss 3 days. And if you miss 3 days, you might miss a week. And if you miss a week, you'll probably miss 2 weeks. And you'll be so far down the wrong road, it'll be hard to get back on the right track. How do we cleave to the Lord? We cleave to the Lord on purpose. On purpose. We make decisions about what is right so that in our future we will never get away from God. We make decisions. You know, I would say, I guess I have. I don't know. I can't really think of a specific day. But I know that I think there's one family in our church. I think about them, known them for a long time. I can't remember in my life that their family ever missed any service ever. When they were on vacation, I knew where they went, and I knew they were in church. Never missed one service ever. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school, revival meeting, missionary conference. Never, ever, ever missed one service. You know what? That doesn't happen by accident, does it? And you know what? their family is reaping the results of it too. It's a very simple principle here. The Lord is saying to the people, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. He says, make a choice about what you want in life. And the choice that you make will determine if you have life and blessing or you will have death and cursing. And now as we've looked at, we realize that these are a multitude of little decisions about spiritual realities in our life that we decide about what we are going to do. And we could go on. He said to the people of Israel, now when you go into the land and you meet these people, it says, don't even ask. Don't even ask about their gods. Don't ask about it. Don't study it. Don't ask about it. Don't look into it. It says, why? Because you are going to be a people that are totally dedicated to serving your God, and you are not going to do anything that will take away your heart and your mind from following God completely. These things are done on purpose. You say, you know what? I'm not reading that book. I'm not reading that book. I don't need to know that. I don't want something in my life that's going to take away my heart for God. All these things are done on purpose. You know, it's a wonderful thing. As a Christian, we have the Bible. We're born again. The Spirit of God lives in us. We have a rekindled will. But kindled by the Spirit of God, we can choose what we're going to do with our life. Based on the truth of God's Word, the instruction of God's Word, we can decide. And we'll never have to worry about what our future will hold. Because we know that God works all things together for good for them that love Him. We know that the Bible says that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There's some very simple truths here about choosing today. Choosing to love the Lord. Choosing to obey Him in every way. Choosing to purposely cleave to Him and not allow anything that would separate us from that fellowship with God, and to determine to do those things that will always keep us close to the Lord. I set before you today life and death, blessing and cursing. It has to do with our life. It has to do with our family. It has to do with our future generations. And can we say today that, you know what, we need to be decisive. This hemming and hawing and just making good intentions, that will never do the thing. We have to decide that we are going to obey what God says. You know what, we don't like to do that. You know why? Because that makes us feel uncomfortable. And I like Brother Scott told me right before the service today, we were talking about witnessing in Sunday school. He said, you know, one of the staff members back at college, he was sitting in his car and he was thinking about going visitation and he was struggling with himself. And so he took his keys and he threw them out the window, out, you know, on the lawn. And And he did it purposely, you know. He threw keys out so he'd have to go after them. So he'd have to get out of the car. And so he could overcome this fear of, and this, you know, this block of going out talking to people. You know, we have to do things on purpose. I know myself that I have to make decisions. Because if I don't make a decision, I am weak. And I'll vacillate. If you're a man here today, you know, if you haven't made that decision to have family devotions, guess what? You'll struggle with it forever until you decide to do it. And now the pressure is on. Amen. Exactly. We need to put pressure on ourselves. We decide to do right now, we got to do it. Exactly, that's what we need. Make that decision to read your Bible. Now I realize that, I mean, that God has to be there and you have to really let God work in your life. But you know what? It's important you make the decision. You know, if you don't make the decision, I'm sure you're going to do something far less than that. We make decisions about life. We make decisions about, you know, being in the Lord's house. And I didn't preach that because people are skipping church. People aren't skipping church around here. I didn't preach that when I talk about life. We make decisions, don't we? Choose you this day. You know, it doesn't matter whether we failed in the past or not. That doesn't matter. Praise the Lord, we got tomorrow. And God will take us today so that the rest of our life can be a life of life and blessing. That's what God wants. And young person, you have your whole life ahead of you. But it will, God's blessing will not come by accident. And the younger you decide to do the will of God, the more blessed your life will be. Let's bow in prayer. Father,